Hi, my name is Janice Cruz, and you're listening to the Self-Love Science Podcast. So today I want to talk to you about the spiritual positioning system. So as I was going through my healing journey, I recognized that there was a system that was out of whack, and it wasn't just my programmed cellular death that was malfunctioning, which is what allowed cancer to proliferate in my body. So your cells, basically the way that your body works is if there's something wrong with your cell, it's broken, if the programming is off, it has something called programmed cell death, where it explode. If you look at it under, I guess it's a microscope, it kind of looks like a little upside down Nike check or like a shooting star. And cancer basically means that that system doesn't work. Like there's something wrong with the cell, but instead of breaking down and destroying itself and then being carried out by your lymphatic system, it will basically zombify itself. And then it just grows. And it grows with the broken programming rapidly and uncontrollably. And this is what you recognize in the world of cancer, that is in the medical system called a tumor. And no two tumors are alike. From one place in your body to the next, they have completely different DNA, and they're completely unique. And what could work on one tumor might not work on another as far as treatment goes. So that kind of happens when your body just loses its ability to function. Some system becomes overworked and another one is broken. So with emotions, part of healing for me became about healing my emotions, because I didn't want to spend whatever time I have left in my life living in the same misery that I had been living in before my diagnosis. So I was super unhappy every single day. And I wanted to resolve for that, because I started adopting beliefs based on these holistic practices that if you heal your emotions, you could heal your life. You know, listening to people like Abraham Hicks and Louise Hay and people who have shared really powerful stories. Like, they're very motivational to me. They make me feel excited and alive, and they give me strength to keep going. They make me believe in possibility. So I love that. I love it as part of a practice of healing. I wanted to heal everything. So I started looking at every single emotion that was out of whack, right? And what I started recognizing is that emotions were absolutely necessary, all of them. So first, I used to look at emotions like sadness, guilt, shame, rage, like negative emotions. To me, those were bad. And then if you were happy, that was like a good, positive, healthy emotion. If you felt joy, that was positive. Like, you had to go from feeling angry to feeling happy, and that meant you went from bad to good. But as I started at the very beginning of my healing journey, this started before I even had a diagnosis. So I was basically experiencing the world from complete numbness. I had lost my ability to experience emotion. So prior to my diagnosis, I went to this workshop called P3, Personal Power and Prosperity. And at the time that I went, I remember I would describe myself as feeling empty. Like, I was empty, you know, I was just lost in this world. And I didn't really know what that meant as far as what was happening with these systems, right? Like, there is a system malfunctioning here. And what happened is that over a lifetime of pushing down pain emotions, like, for me, a lot of my pain emotions came in relationships. I started dating when I was 15 years old, and I'm 35 now. So, like, really, I have 20 years of relationship pains that had built up. And at the time that I went to this workshop, I couldn't feel anything. And I tell the story of something had happened to me. It was, you know, a relationship thing. And I don't remember exactly what it was. And I don't really think it matters. Like, so many different things were happening and I couldn't feel them. I just remember having the thought that I should feel something right now. Like, I remember going through something and it was so horrible. And I just thought to myself, any person who just experienced what I experienced would be crying on the floor, would be hysterical, like screaming in excruciating pain over the emotional punch to the gut that this was. And I couldn't feel anything. And I was like, oh shit, something's broken in here. So what I didn't know at the time is that in order to shove down your pain emotions, you also have to shove down your joy emotions, because it's one system that's operating everything. Maybe different parts of the brain are responsible for it. Maybe your reactions are kind of different, but in the grand scheme, in the intelligent design of the human body, it is one system that creates joy and pain and love and hate and shame and pride and excitement. So I went into this workshop and I am just so grateful for this experience, because at that workshop, I have a friend. She's one of the people who, she's my angel and she, runs that with her husband and two friends of theirs. They running this company and they're leading the events. And in there, I got to experience the entire spectrum of human emotion at a very intense scale. And I credit that event for giving me back my ability to feel, to be human, to feel excitement and joy. I make this joke that I know how Beyonce feels standing on a stage, because like some of the exercises or whatever you call it that they do, I got to experience exhilaration and like, it was just wild. It was wild. So when you dampen your ability to feel pain, which is what a lot of us choose to do, we are harboring these emotions. We're putting them away, placing them in a cage where we don't allow them room to breathe. We don't give them the opportunity to see the light of day, but they're there hunting us no matter what we do. And every once in a while, we might fall back into the memory and it's like being locked in that cage again. It's like going in and closing the door and you feel it. It's a simulation experience. You know, you have like the event as you go through it the first time is like being on a roller coaster. You know, like you're flying through and you're going through loops up and down, and then you come out and you're done and the experience is over and you're left with some residual sensation of whatever. You know, if it's a trauma experience, you're left with the residual emotion of some form of pain. But every single time you think about it, when you don't heal from it, it's like going on a simulated roller coaster. Do you ever sit on one of those rides like at an arcade and it's blowing wind and it's shaking and you've got to hold on tight? Like, you're not in real danger. You don't have to really wear a seatbelt. You're not actually going to fall off. You're not actually in the sky, but you have a visual in front of you. And then you have the emotions that come up with it. That's what memories are. It's just like a simulation of a roller coaster. So you're going to re-experience it like it's happening in real time. Your body will, your heart will start pumping. You know, your cortisol will start pumping. You're going to feel the pain. You're going to feel the anger. It's a simulation of a real life experience. And so what we do is, rather than heal from those, we kind of like shove them down and we put them away in a place where we don't have to deal with it. And it works, right? Like you numb yourself out and it works. You know, you might think of it, but as time goes on, the grip that it has on you, it kind of like feels like it's lessened. But at any moment, you could go back and really be back in there. And so it's kind of like a poisonous drop. It's just going into your spirit little by little. And in order to close it down, you have to close down the system that allows you to feel that pain. So that's going to prevent you from feeling joy. It doesn't mean you can't go to dinner with your friends and completely love the experience, or travel around the world and have a good time, or sit on a beach and experience like the oneness and the awe that is being in nature. It just means that, have you ever been sitting on a beach and it's beautiful and it's magnificent and it's a perfect sunny day and you can smell salt in the air and you hear waves crashing and it's glorious. And you just kind of remember one time that somebody really hurt you, and remember that you didn't deserve that, and remember that it sucked, and you kind of start believing that good isn't possible after that, or maybe you could never fully love again. You're dampening your ability to experience joy. But the thing is, all of those emotions are absolutely necessary for survival. We're using them as a survival mechanism by reducing pain. Like, if having less pain means we are surviving. The thing about human beings is we have this incredible capacity to endure, to live, to be strong. Humans can fall at it out of buildings, break every bone in their body and survive and recover. Humans are built for survival. That is one thing that we cannot deny. Like, our entire planet could be in jeopardy, and there is going to be one person just buried underneath Earth like, nope, we survive. Or another person on his little homemade rocket ship to Mars just surviving. Like, we survive. So imagine what you can survive if the pain you're going through is just like your relationship or a job that you hate or toxic family ties. You know, you can survive a lot. You can deal with the worst kind of pain sometimes is the mild dissatisfaction. And I say that knowing that there's like real shit people deal with, but I'm just saying that if your relationship is okay, but you find yourself kind of hating yourself and that person a little bit more and more every day, it's like a poison drip in there and it's building up and it's just sending signals into your body that something is amiss, that it's danger or not being safe. Like, your body's not going to be able to stop and heal if you're always thinking that bad things are about to happen. So for the system to work optimally, you've got to feel all of it. You need to allow yourself to feel. And it takes work. It takes practice. So the way that I look at it is, whatever emotion you feel the most, that's your homeostasis, like your baseline. For me, when I started my healing journey, it was shame. I felt shame, guilt, apathy the most. I just felt like, whatever, there's no point in trying to change. Nothing could ever be better. Or shame of like, God, if like this is happening to me, it's because I deserve it. You know, like, this is karma coming back to me for whatever I've done or things that I've participated in. It's easy when you grow up in a shame culture, like people always wanting you to feel bad for being who you are or for experimenting. You know, there's like acceptable experimentation, and then there's experimentation that people are just going to judge you for. Like, you experiment with your identity, your appearance, your spiritual beliefs, your sexuality. You experiment with your life and your career. People will attack you for is that tribalism. You know, don't stand out too much. You stand out too much, you might get exiled. But the system is really beautiful. And if you feel exceptional shame, like for me with the exceptional shame, all that it was is that shame was an overworked muscle. It's like, you know, the meme that says, don't let your friends skip leg day, bro. If you're going every single day, you're working on one muscle, like shame muscle, you get exceptionally good at recognizing things to feel shame over. You are exceptionally good at remembering things that should cause shame. You remember everything that everyone's ever said to you that is in line with shame. You are like an expert. It's the best thing you could do. It's like that with anger. It's like that with, you know, pride. And it's like that with love and joy and happiness. The more that you do it, the better you get at recognizing it. If you have only ever worked on your contracting low-level emotions, you're going to be able to recognize those. But sometimes what happens is that the day you have to work another muscle, you kind of like quit right away, right? If you're like in a self-loathing mode and somebody says, go look in the mirror and call yourself beautiful, you're going to just shut it down. Like, this muscle is too strong. You're like, man, I'd rather go lift this again. It's easier. I can lift a lot of weight with this. Here, I'm starting from scratch. Like, I'm a baby. I have no experience. I don't want to do that. It takes resilience. But the intelligent design of human emotion, it really is a perfect system. Like, you need all of these emotions. You need pride. You know, if you're on the right track and you do something amazing, pride, happiness, man, love is beautiful. On David Hawkins, Dr. David Hawkins' scale of consciousness, the highest emotion you can achieve right before enlightenment is peace. Peace is my middle name. It actually is. My middle name is Irene and it means peace. It is my favorite energy. The feeling of everything's going to be okay, even on a bad day. Of everything I'm doing is right. Where I'm living is beautiful. I come home and I feel my energy just reverberating off the walls, bouncing over there, coming back through me. It's like this swirl of dopeness. I love it. So you've got to clear out some of the weight of the things that aren't working so you can start feeling those emotions. That way they can guide you. They're guiding you somewhere. They're trying their best. But if you keep shoving them down, they're like, why am I bothering? This is pointless. Like, there's no use for these. You are fighting your own evolution, historical evolution, like things we've adapted with, but also the evolution of you. You growing into this amazing dope self as you're just stopping it at all costs. You're doing everything you can to prevent it from working. So this is like the quick way that you can work on it. Spiritual positioning system. Think of a road, right? You're driving down a road and it's a beautiful, bright, sunny day. The road is just your journey, right? The path you're going on so that you can end up on the last day of your life. Sorry if that's morbid. It's not. We're all going there. You're on this road. How do you know what direction to take? Like, how do you know where to go? So your feelings of joy and peace and happiness and love, that's the road, man. That's it. If you're feeling love and joy and peace, you are headed in the right direction. Your contracting pain emotions are your guardrails. So if you're feeling pain, if you're feeling shame, if you're feeling guilt, if you're feeling sadness, resentment, that's like you're in a car. You're the car. You're in the car. And you're kind of like bumping up against these guardrails. And every time you hit it, like you feel it, you need to feel it. Because your spirit's saying, okay, get back on the road. Don't go this way. And really, like, you've got to honor it because you could fall off a cliff here. If you are going through shame, I think shame is just something so interesting. If you read, John Ronson, So You've Been Publicly Shamed, he nails it in that book. Shame culture. Shame is something that would lead people to suicide if it's not checked. I did MMA for a while, and I used to work with this coach named Dan, and he used to be a New York State trooper, and he would talk to me about the paths that shame, like unchecked shame, can lead you down. And he talked about this girl that he would pick up for prostitution. And she was she would share his story, right? Like she was in and out of jail, just like classic case. And she said when she was a young girl, she snuck out of her parents' house. She went to a party. She was drinking. She blacked out and basically got like, you know, got sexually assaulted. And people at the party took pictures of her. And she, whatever, came to, went home, was hiding in her room. And one of the guys from the party reached out to her. And he was inviting her to another party. And she's like, hell no. You know, knowing something had happened to her, not knowing what. And he started sending her pictures of her being sexually assaulted. And he was like, if you don't come to this party, I'm going to send it to your parents. The potential shame of those pictures going live, that would have happened to her, being made known to the world, were so devastating to her that instead she chose to go. And that was how the direction of her life changed. From one where maybe she could have healed from joy, maybe she could have found acceptance and understanding, maybe she could have, you know, learned to cope, found people to help, to support. And she went down and became what this coach called a party favor. Like people would just invite her over just to sexually assault her. And after a while, you just kind of like accept that that's your fate. You know, you feel this gate and shame and guilt. And like, if you're hitting this guardrail, right, you need help sometimes. Sometimes you have to ask for help. A lot of times people come up, like, picture you just broken down on the side of the road, the wheels are falling off, the car's on fire, and an Uber comes, and they're like, hey, do you need a ride? And you're just like, no, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to ride it out. This is what I'm meant for. And then like a tow truck comes in, it's like, hey, I can pull this whole car out of here. Right? Good people come in your life. People come in there to try to help you. Opportunities. Maybe you just see like, man, if I went to this self-help group or to therapy or to church or like, I don't know, depending on the level of what you're dealing with, like a meetup group of people who are kind of going through it, there's help, right? If you don't be careful, you could fall off the cliff. Some people drive themselves off the cliff. Honor those guardrails, respect them, thank them for what they're teaching you, and get back on the path of happiness. It doesn't matter how long you've been just riding against these guardrails. If you're alive today, you can still come back on this road to happiness. And then you've got like signs, right? Like the scenic route is your happiness. This is going on vacation with people. This is spending time with friends. This is being out in nature, doing something that you love. I don't know. I have this example that I always think of that one of my college professors would say, like, maybe you enjoy underwater basket weaving. I remember when he said it, I was like, what? And now here I am repeating it. So your systems are perfectly functioning. Now you do need to do some fixing to get them to work all the way. If what you're dealing with are a lot of contracting emotions, if you've dealt with trauma and it's of any kind, like what I've learned, I've been doing a lot of self-development for several years. And I've learned that the most simple of experiences can still be trauma. You can have a wonderful childhood. You have amazing parents. And one time your mom didn't hold a door open for you and it slammed in your face and you made it mean that you were invisible. Or that you were not loved. And you can develop a whole lifetime of experiences that match that thought. There's this book called Psycho-Cybernetics. And long story short, because that book was so intense to read and very complex. And I loved it. I thought it was just so fascinating. Basically, what it comes down to is that we're a computer programming system, right? Like this is the dopest computer that exists. The most developed, technologically advanced artificial intelligence is doing its best to mimic what the human brain does. Like everything is working just fine. So, honor this guidance system, like get help when you need help, and then increase your positive emotions so you can go down this path, right? use the language that fits you. I say spiritual positioning system. It works for me. I'm happy as hell. I am so happy. It's ridiculous. I woke up this morning and was like, oh shit. Today is like literally the happiest day of my life again. I can't even tell you how many mornings I've woken up like that. And before, I was waking up every day like, oh, this life again. In my darkest time, definitely while I was going through through treatment, that was the darkest time that I'd ever known in my life. I'm sorry. That was the second darkest time that I've ever known. But in the moment, it was just the worst, like processing emotion. So for me, it happened in an incubator. I'm very grateful for this. I had time working against me. All of my senses were firing because I was in full survival mode, because the circumstances that triggered my spiritual journey were like dire. What have you not dealt with? What are you avoiding? Anxiety now? Now that I have cleansed myself of all of my backlog of emotions, if I have anxiety, it is because there's something I'm avoiding. I am avoiding dealing with something. You know, like I gotta send my accountant my tax stuff. I am avoiding having a conversation. Maybe somebody like pissed me off, or there's somebody whose phone call I haven't returned. Maybe there's some project at work that I'm just not up to date on. Anxiety is perfectly functioning for me right now. And because I've addressed the backlog of things, I've had very difficult conversations with people, with friends, with exes, with my parents. I wrote letters to everyone who'd ever hurt me. Like I got rid of all of it. I was like, if I'm going out, I am going out with a clean, clear spirit. And that's exactly what I achieved. So the overworked muscles, cool. They're like tools in your tool belt. You're going to just put them there, put them to the side. All right. I know how to do anxiety. I'm really good at it. I'm going to put that to the side for a second so I can build another muscle, build the joy muscle. Joy E muscle is what I just say. Build your joy muscle. Build your peace muscle. Build your love muscle. Build your no bullshit. You ain't putting up with nobody's nothing muscle. I was a complete pushover before. It allowed people to just like recognize that I wasn't going to fight back, and they took advantage of it. I was attracting people who were looking for someone like me, you know, and I'm like this super nice person. And for some reason, people who needed to get their anger out but are like not really strong people would find me, you know? They'd be like, yeah, you're an easy target. Now, I did grow up in a ghetto family, so fortunately, I didn't get like real like bullied. I didn't really get bullied growing up, but I've had some experiences there. I have not been physically abused in relationships. I'm so grateful for that because I grew up around a lot of tough women. They were like, yo, if a man puts his hands on you, you deck him right back. And it's like, this is a fist fight, right? So I didn't attract that into my life, but I attracted like narcissism, and I attracted people who needed someone who would do things for them without conditions. They needed somebody who was going to always give under all the circumstances, no amount of stress, no amount of hurting me, no amount of, breaking my heart was going to make a difference in the amount of love that I was giving and the amount of favors that I would do for people. So I started working my, you know, anger muscle a little bit. It was super healthy. Anger to me was the emotion that I went through right before I started killing it in life. Like, as someone who went from shame and guilt, a people pleaser, anger is like a foreign concept. It is terrifying. It's so scary to think about being angry. When I went through that workshop, that P3, like the anger exercise, like having to look at anger, I literally ran out of the room. One of the ladies goes, oh, we got a runner. Running is what I do. Like that's how I deal with relationship things, you know, and I'm just learning now, like you can't run from everything, right? Because it's just a form of avoidance. It's a form of holding on to an emotion because you don't want to confront it. You know, And so like daily, right, working on that still. Right now, my peace muscle, oh my God, my favorite muscle to work on. It's like if you like real thick and you're like, I want to like do my booty workout today, and that's your favorite part to work on. That's my peace muscle. My peace muscle is basically like if I went to the gym, I'd probably work on my glutes every day, but I don't. So I work on my peace every day. Decreasing your negative emotions and increasing your positive emotions, right? The shortcut to decrease negative emotions is to forgive. To increase positive emotions is to have gratitude. That's like the simple formula, right? Like 1 + 1 = 2, 8 + b = c, or something like that. It is obviously a lot more complex than that. If you've grown up and the word forgiveness to you occurs as something that, like for me, forgiveness, I was just like, nah, I don't like that concept, because all I ever thought about forgiveness was in the upbringing that I had and the people that I was surrounded by, all the men cheated on women. That's what we learned was normal, right? Like we just learned it's just okay to get cheated on. It's part of it. And like forgiveness was what you would hear women do when they were taking their lying, cheating spouses back, you know? So it really just, like, the world had destroyed that concept for me. I was like, forgiveness means you're letting people hurt you again. Just think, like, you know, if you went to the dictionary, it would give you a few different versions of that definition. If that's what your definition is, like, if for you, you have it that forgiveness means you're going to let somebody do it again, just say, you know what? I don't speak that language anymore. I'm going to hablo español now, and look at it in a different way. Look at it in a way of forgiveness means you don't get to hold any of the valuable real estate that is in my brain anymore. You don't get to have space in my spirit anymore. That's what forgiveness is. You got to go. You don't got to go home, but you got to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? And gratitude, right? It's like your foundational data is gratitude. You do have amazing things going on. Look around. Work the muscle that lets you see when things are good for you. You, no matter how shit your life is, you remember a time where an opportunity came and you passed up on it. And you were like, I think that would have been a good opportunity. You're probably right. Maybe you met a person. I had a dude I dated for like a very short period of time. And I was like, oh, gotta dump this guy so I can go date a narcissist, you know? And I always look back and I'm like, damn, like I know that that relationship wouldn't have worked out. But as a person with 20/20 retrospect, I'm like, I should have still chosen that, because that relationship would have given me more positive emotions, even if ultimately it wouldn't have been the right, you know, relationship. Look around for clues that things are going well. And if like, I have been around a lot of people who are healing a lot. I've heard some stories that are so dark that I've lost sleep at night many, 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 many times. People have shared things that they've gone through. And like, it's so horrible. I almost can't believe that it exists. Not like as in that I don't believe the story, but as in like, how is it possible for people who are so villainous to come into existence in this world? And I've watched those people heal. And if you have that life, if I say like, the world is full of good people, and you shake your head and go, not if you came from where I came from. You wouldn't think that. If you've seen what I've seen, if you've been through what I've been through, you would never say that most people are mostly good. If that's you, somebody said this to me and it changed my life. I swear to God. She said, if I have nothing to be grateful for, I still can be grateful for the moon. I did that one night. I was having the worst day of my life again. So many of those, going through treatment, life was horrible. I was just in like so much pain and I was broken. I was so broken that day. I was so broken that I said, why did I survive cancer if this is the life I have to wake up to? And that night I had nothing to be grateful for. I couldn't even find gratitude for my mother and my daughter. That's how bad that day was. I was just like, y'all both getting on my nerves. And that night I just said, you know what? Then I'm grateful for the moon. And I thought about how I had learned like in seventh grade science class or something that the moon causes the waves of the ocean. And then I imagine like fish like getting rocked back and forth down there. I don't know if it works like that, but you know how like you're on a cruise and the boat kind of rocks and it rocks you to sleep if you have a good cabin, not the cabin where the anchor comes up and bangs in the back, but like you got a good cabin. But then when you're on land, you feel yourself rocking. That's how I imagine it. And I was like, man, and I started thinking about how the moon and the sun are in this like everlasting love affair and they're always chasing each other around. And I imagine that every single time the moon comes up to see the sun, she's like, I got to go, honey, you know? And that night I dreamed of God. I dreamed of like my highest self. And when I tell you that that evening, my sorrow and my pain was washed away from me. Like overnight, I had just slipped under a blanket of the softest, kindest, most peaceful material in all of the universe. And beneath the weight of it, I became safe. And when I woke up, life was possible again. If you have nothing to be grateful for, perhaps you live in the hottest state in the country like I do. I hear Texas is worse. Let me not say that. I live in Florida. And it's a hot day. And like you got to mow the lawn by hand because you can't afford the electric lawnmower. The city done put a sign up on your yard telling you they're going to give you a fine if you don't cut the grass. You lost your job. You don't want to go inside your house because you hate everybody you live with. You know that when you go to work, your boss is going to tell you you're a piece of shit. Your childhood was miserable. Your adult life is miserable. Everything in life is miserable, but you're standing there. You're dirty, grimy, and the sun is just beaming on you, just beaming on your face. And there's a droplet of sweat going down your nose. And for just like a second, the wind comes and just blows a cool breeze across your face. And you take your hand and you wipe the sweat from your brow. And for just a second, you feel this coolness wash over you. For just that one second in life, you get a break from the heat. And everything's okay. Look for those. Perhaps your clues are tiny little grains of sand because you're so good at seeing the horrible things in life because life has sent you so many examples of horrible things. You can find gratitude for something. Feel happy for other people if you can't feel happy for yourself. You know? And when all of the systems are functioning, you can use them in your favor. You can say, this thing makes me happy. Going dancing makes me happy. So I go dancing and I feel happy. It is the exact right thing to do. I'm not running from anything. I'm running towards something. If somebody hurts you, you should feel it. And it's your guardrail. And you gotta get away. Even if you believe that that thing is good for you, gotta get away from it. How? You look for something that makes you happy and you go there. Maybe going to hang out with somebody that is abusive to you. You feel pain. Well, if you went to like the comic book store, would that bring you joy? If you went to poetry night, would that bring you joy? Do that instead. And keep choosing happiness over everything else. If your job is so miserable that you cry in your car when you're about to go in, just put your stuff up on LinkedIn and find another job. Ask around and take opportunities. I was talking to someone once, and the way that their worldview was, it was like, they were so unhappy with people like using them, asking them for things, taking from them. I mean, they were giving it away, right? Every time somebody asked, this person said to me, I just want to like kill myself sometimes. And I said, you'd rather die than say no. You would rather jump off a bridge than tell that person no. Like you think that if you are dead, then they can't ask you anymore. You are stacking up discomfort from not saying no, as opposed to being uncomfortable once when you do say no. If you hate your job so much, if you hate your spouse so much, if your parent is so toxic and mean and nasty to you that you've ever had the thought about like running away or ending it all, and I'm saying this like aside of your serious mental health conditions. I already talked about if you're hitting the guardrails, people are there to support you. You know, therapy, like maybe medication speaks to you, maybe group therapy or other forms of healing. I'm just saying, like, if you feel like you would rather die than to just make a choice, look at that. What's in there? What is that really about? What if you just chose to do something that made you happy instead? What you got to lose at this point, literally, like you're at the end anyway. What do you have to lose? I quit my job once. I had enough money to pay 3 months worth of bills. I had this job I hated. It was a call center. And my boss was like this guy that just, he was so unhappy that every single time that we would like have, I was amazing, like super happy person, like, good morning. Thank you for calling. Thank you for reaching my line. How can I make you happy today? And my job sucked, you know, but it wasn't like the worst that I could have done, but I hated it because it was a call center. And I would go to like get graded on my calls, and he would do this thing. Like he would pinch his little fingers together and make like 1 inch, like a half an inch, and be like, you were just this close to getting 100%. And one day we were listening to the call together and he realized he had graded it wrong. So he had to like click back into the folder. And in that folder, I could see everyone's name, and like it would be their name dash the percentage they got on the call. Nobody had 100%. And I remember going, oh, with this person, nobody can get 100%. And from that day, I was like, I'm not taking his shit on that job. I went to the self-development seminar called the Landmark Forum. I learned that I was not actually handcuffed to my desk. I looked at my bank account. I had enough money to pay 3 months of bills exactly. And I went and asked for a day off. And he said, no, the day off was so I could take another seminar like a month later. And he's like, no, we need coverage. I only worked 3 days a week at this job. I was like a part-time employee. And I was like, and in that moment, I snapped and I said, okay, I'd like to put in my 2 weeks notice. Oh, no. I was like, well, I'm quitting. And my last day was like the Wednesday before that Friday. I thought I was going to throw up. I remember even like as I was quitting, I was just shaking. I was nervous. I was like saying, I'm sorry. Like, oh my God, girl, honey, ew. I can't believe I was ever that person. Ew. Apologizing for quitting this stupid ass job with this stupid ass boss. You know, I shouldn't have called him a stupid ass. This person who never would feel that anything was sufficient. That is what I think his internal state was. And like, now I lived with my parents, so I'm gonna just give that caveat in case y'all, like, if you got a mortgage, you might need to do some different steps than that. I lived with my parents. I had gotten laid off from one job, went to this job, lived at home with my parents, was finishing college. So like I had some flex rooms. When I say like my bills, I'm talking about my car payment, my insurance, my cell phone bill, like the very basic things that I was paying. Anyway, So I created my dream internship during that time. That's a story for later. And then I manifested my dream job. And it's a job that I've loved for a very long time. It's actually the job that I'm at now. And I have been here for a really long time. So like, that's what happens when you follow that guidance system. When you use your emotions as part of your, like, your intuition, your human experience of letting it lead the way sometimes. If you're like a control freak, and I am, so I'm telling you, like, from one control freak to another, it's absolutely possible. You just need to get rid of some stuff you don't need. Bring on some stuff that feels good. And then, like, chill a little bit, relax, live life, be happy, enjoy it. So that is the spiritual positioning system. I'm going to make a diagram. I actually do have a diagram on a paper here. But like, I'm not an artist. Oh my God. I have a friend who is an artist. I wonder if I can commission her to draw me something. So that's what I got for you for today. My name is Janice Cruz. This is the Self Love Science Podcast. Signing off. I hope all of your dreams come true.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform to get notified about new episodes. Next week is a really special episode for me. I have an amazing guest, author Eileen Cruz. Eileen is someone I admire very much because she's been on a self-love journey for quite some time. I always tell her she's farther along on the self-love Monopoly board than I am. She's inspiring a lot of young women locally, many of whom are victims of various forms of abuse. She's sharing her story in her books, and she's leading a book club where young girls have the space to talk about how to establish healthy relationships with themselves and with others. She's being the change that we need to see in the world. Irene and I are also hosting an event on Zoom on Saturday, September 25th, called How to Love Yourself, a workshop on finding your light. It's going to be 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can register on my website at janicecruz.com. Click on Workshops and find the Eventbrite link. Register for my email list, and as a thank you, I'll send you a list of affirmations of awesomeness to your inbox. One last thing, follow me on Instagram at Self Love Science Podcast.